If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to reality. This is what we have to deal with on a regular basis, because when your team, you get spoiled a couple years in a row where your team just goes on these absolutely incredible runs, never looks like they have anything in doubt, and then you're reminded of what playoff runs really look like, and it's not a fun experience. Here we sit. Welcome into the bonus episode of the Far End of the Bench podcast with Jimmy Pilato and Nico Bryant following the Avalanche Game 1 loss. Let's see if I get this right. 7-6 against the Winnipeg Jets.
That's not a baseball score. No, the Rockies did not just play the Toronto Blue Jays, even though it probably would have been a much worse score. No, it's an actual hockey score, 7-6. That many goals in a playoff game.
Canadians are probably so confused by that score. They're like, this never 7-6 never happens. I was like, oh, bitch, please. Just because your Canadian football teams can't score 14 points in a full game does not mean 7-6 does not happen, okay? It happens to everybody. It's perfectly natural. It's totally normal. Now I feel like I'm defending ED. So the Avalanche have me a little bit fried right now. I'm a little bit flustered, if you can't tell. But, Nico, good news is, A, we're going to the game on Friday. We did get tickets, so we'll be live and in person.
I'm in person, so expect a delay on the post game show. I know we're a lot quicker because, like I said, I decided not to go to Winnipeg. I know, tough decision.
Was just too much, huh?
Just a flight too much, and everything else didn't work out, I guess. So I decided to stay home and watch the game from the comfort of my parents' couch, and went over to go watch that game. And man, disappointment. Is all I'll say. Disappointment. You had a chance to steal one. You absolutely did. You had your chances to steal one. And fortunately, there's going to be one overlying theme about this podcast of what needs to change. And I think everybody can agree on that.
Let's talk about, we kind of mentioned it last night. We're interested to see what's going to happen. Obviously, The blows that come with this team, like Drouin not being available for the first round, and then nobody knowing Eustace Annan is not going to be available until about 40 minutes before game time, you're like, okay, well, all of that goaltending controversy conversation we just had is totally out the window, because you're not putting in some 25-year-old who's never seen NHL ice before in the playoff game in the first situation. So Georgie's going to get the start. The Avs got the first goal, which is something that they don't do all that often. The Abs.
That was an absolute rocket, too. It was a perfect shot by Val.
It's an evenly matched series. I think that's something that a couple years ago we would have thought that the Jets versus the Avalanche wouldn't be an evenly matched series, but this is fairly evenly matched right now.
Evenly matched offensively, yes, because of what you're producing in the net. But if you look at what the two teams equally did tonight, there's one team, if you look at statistics outside of the saves and the goals, you're like, okay, so what was the final score? 5-2 for the away team? That's what you think. 45 shots on net to 20, 21. You only take two penalties, you kill both of those off, you get two power play goals, you're like, wait, they lost? Hold on, they lost in regulation? This is a game that could
seven goals on 23 shots,
and we can just jump right into it, because look, I cannot look after the first period. I was not blaming Georgia, because there was the first three goals, for sure the first two goals, there was a guy wide open in front of the net that just tapped it in off a beautiful pass, and I was like, all right, our defense needs to help him out a little bit. And then you get to the second period where, oh, that's one goal, right? All right, you know what? No big deal. Well, things go. Then the freaking wheelbarrows get open, and the floodgates start to flow, and you're like, all right, is this guy going to be able to make a single stop for us? Because look, I cannot stress enough. If you put six goals to Connor Hellebuyck and you cannot win a game in regulation, regulation, right? If you could, six goals in regulation and you lose the game, I cannot emphasize enough of how Bednar needs to take this goaltending situation. Because like I said, Anunu was banged up. We didn't know if he was a full go. So look, it was going to be Georgiev the whole night tonight. It absolutely was. It wasn't even hesitation. He was going to let him go, let him make as many mistakes as he did, and he fulfilled every single mistake he could. But I would be very, very, very surprised if I did not see 60 in net instead of 40, especially after letting 14 goals in the past two games to the same team that you're trying to beat in the playoffs. Because I cannot expect our offense to score six goals for us every night against one of the best goalies in the world. Plain and simple. No one should. The fact you got four, the fact you got three, you're like, oh, shit, this is our chance to win a game. And then you put up six, and you lose. It's just so frustrating. And I'll let you give your two cents here, but I think that there is a way you can take a lot of positives out of this too. Because like I said, what did we say yesterday? As the road team, it's a different mindset.
Game two is must win now.
It's a different mindset. I'm not going to say must win, but it is a very, very big game.
How about can't not lose?
Yeah.
It's not a must win, but it's a can't lose.
Yeah, it's not. You're not down 3-0 on moral victories like the Nuggets. All right, we're not dead in the race yet.
I would much rather be down 3-0 in moral victories with the Nuggets or with the Avalanche than what we're currently experiencing right now. Because my issue. So the good things, and I said this. I will say over the years, you can tell my positive mental growth by the Avalanche series that we've seen. Because 3 years ago, when they lost to the Stars, I had a total meltdown, and it was in public online for everybody to see, and people can still go find those tweets. First thing I said after today's game, it took Winnipeg. They scored seven goals, and there's a couple times where Winnipeg looked like they were better than us. They played as good of a game as they could possibly do, and the Avalanche made a lot of mistakes. That triple doink goal. The fact that you got your triple doink in the first game, congratulations for using up all your good voodoo and still only beating us by a goal. We still had a chance to tie that with 30 seconds left. I know that it's super unlikely, but the fact that we scored to make it 7-6 with 29.6 seconds left, there could have been a lot more laying down and a lot more rolling over than what we saw out there.
And look, that's the massive positive takeaway from this game, right? You know your offense can feed you this. And look, there's going to be a game this series where Hellebuck will steal one. I would not be surprised at all if he's able to steal a game here.
You don't think that was it?
No. He's laying six goals. How poorly he played. Hellebuck will steal a game where we score one goal. Or we score one goal, plain and simple. He'll steal a game where we score one or two goals, and you got to hope that our opposition on the other end can do that, because that is within the nature of good goaltenders. They steal one game. They steal one game. That is not a game he stole. Six goals, he did not steal that. He played the Avs were firing shots at all cylinders, but he faced 42 shots, six goals. Like, 42 shots for Hellebuck, I would expect two or three, not six, okay? So that is a very, very off game from him. And you get into this series as you go along, and he's going to steal one, and you have to hope that you can opposition and try to match that, because the offensive production, I cannot emphasize enough how fast this team is and how much pace this team plays with that Winnipeg struggled with. They struggled with it early, struggled with it in the first period, struggled with it as the Avs were trying to make a comeback to tie the game. And the opposition, the Winnipeg Jets were just throwing whatever they could at the net. Throwing. They didn't see a shot they didn't like. It was Steph Curry from logo. It was you know what? I think I'm in range. I just crossed the blue line. Throw this in the net. See if that little bum in net can stop anything. And he didn't. And that's the positive note you got to take as an Avs fan is – you have to realize there's one major problem in this game. Your defense was poor, and your goaltender did nothing to help you. Nothing to help you. There is lots of improvement. You beat yourself. I will say that. You beat yourself today. The Winnipeg Jets did not beat you today. The Colorado Avalanche beat themselves. And more specifically, Alexander Georgiev beat the Avs. Let's be honest with ourselves, okay? You beat yourselves because you produced that much offense production. You have that much momentum going throughout the game, and you only lose by one goal in a game you score six goals. It's absolute blasphemous.
The turning point, the way that the Avalanche should have been 2 years ago, this game is over after MacKinnon scores that goal where he knifes through two defenders. Another positive that I want to point out there, because he was mentioned on another show that I was listening to, and it makes a lot of sense. Casey Mittelstadt does get his first career playoff goal. And the way that it happened, so here's what most people, if you don't follow hockey a lot, if you don't listen to hockey players talk, like they talk a lot about puck luck. What puck luck is sometimes you score goals that you didn't actually shoot. It just so happened to glance off your elbow as it was going towards the net, you get credited with the goal, which can be do wonders for you. Sometimes you just literally have to see, hey, I have a goal in the goal column. I have a statistic in this column. I feel like Casey Mittelstadt getting that last goal, which bounced off of his chest, the defender's back, and then rolled down Hellebuck's back. It was one of the luckiest goals that I've ever seen. He needs to be – the number that I heard was 80% of what Nazem Kadri was two seasons ago. That's a tall task. Casey Mittelstadt is very talented. We've seen that. But what else have we seen with these guys that come in? Like, think about Jonathan Drouin. Jonathan Drouin, which I know we're all very upset he's not available for the series, but when he first came onto the team, everybody skyrockets. And he has good first few games where he's playing with his old buddy McKinnon, and it looks good. He goes into a slump because he's trying to figure out the system and everything like that, and then he's able to come find his way out of it. Casey Mittelstadt has not been here as long. I'm hoping that he can find that curve out of it, and that sixth goal of the game for the Colorado Avalanche might have been where we start to see that turning of the corner. Sean Walker looked pretty decent towards the end of the game with a couple of offensive scoring chances. Manson, outside of like three or four absolutely boneheaded
horrendous plays.
Probably. Up until horrendous his first plays. Mistake, looked pretty damn good. Okay?
For what, 10 minutes? And then he makes the one turnover in the end line. Then he turns over. He doesn't clear the puck three other times. That leads to goals.
I'm glad I didn't get my 42 jersey. Okay?
Manson was horrendous tonight. He was absolutely horrendous tonight.
Good first 10 minutes of the game, but then from there on, it's all minuses.
And I'll even take it another step forward. Taze was not very good tonight either. I saw Kale make a lot of great plays. Kale made a lot of great plays to get him out of things, but I saw a lot of mistakes from Devon Taze clearing the puck. And this is a Winnipeg team that if you provide – look, we talk about second chances in basketball all the time. If you provide second chance opportunities in hockey where they get a shot on net, we get the puck, we try to clear it, and we're not able to clear it out of our own zone, that is a recipe for seven goals performances. And Taze did a horrible job clearing the puck and tried to do way too much. We scored six fucking goals. You do not need to take so many chances to try to clear the puck to get a one-on-one with the goalie. That happens maybe once a game, if not once, at least twice. It doesn't happen very often where you get these two-on-one fast breaks. But because the defense was so out of position, trying to get back, especially there was way too many two-on-one opportunities that made Georgie's life even worse than he was already in. The defense was outside of Kale, and I'll put Sean Walker in that conversation because I think he had a very, very good performance. But I need better Jack Johnson. I need a lot better from Josh Manson. And I need Devon Taze to not make these mistakes because that is not Avalanche hockey. You need to play to the level that everyone expects you. Not make mistakes. Make the right play. Make the smart play. And try not to be the hero. Because everyone was trying to be the hero defensively because you realize how little faith you have in the guy behind net. And taking those chances because you don't have no faith in the guy in front of the net is what costs you this game.
It's a rare moment. I think that Jared Bednar, there were times where he looked totally panicked and flustered. There were times where he did things like shifted lines and started getting some really good chances. But I think that it all will come back to that decision. It definitely was because of the illness that happened to Anonen. But what I've heard from some of the media and what I've heard from, just the rumor mill and who knows how much you can buy into all of this, the team does not trust Georgiev. Whether Bednar or whether the fan base or whether the general manager, Chris McFarland, trusts Georgiev, the team does not trust Georgiev. Ever since he had that one where he launched the puck into the crowd and got the penalty, that's been the moment where this team went, I don't care about this guy. I don't care to block shots. I don't care to give him easy opportunities to make saves right now.
And our friends at Toledo have said it perfectly. You look at the body language. The body language after every single goal of the winner, all right, it's the offense being we just put up another goal for you, and then 30 seconds later, you let up another one. Literally, that happened three different times this game I can remember specifically where the Avs got one back, and 30 seconds later, the Winnipeg came right down and scored. The offense was looking at me like, I don't know what you want us to do. I really don't. And this is not on McKinnon, and this is not on Rantanen. This is not on the offense, because the offense produced very, very well. And like I said, you didn't have one of your top six guys. You won't for this whole series, but you still produced very, very well and made Hellebuck's life a living hell. Plain and simple. He did not have it easy out there. That's what you have to do against a good goalie. And as an offense, like, it's the old football saying, like, it doesn't matter if you put up 50 points offensively. You can pass the ball, throw the ball all you want. If you can't stop the run, if you can't slow a team down and get your team off the ice or off the field, you're never going to win a championship and never going to get to where you want to be. And it's the same thing. If your defense is just consistently being put in positions where it's trying to defend while you're down and trying to take way too many chances that lead to bad turnovers, that lead to goals back in the net, it's going to result in losing a 7-6 playoff game. Like it's frustrating. It's frustrating. But at the same time, I cannot sit here and say that I'm that disappointed. Because my biggest worry was getting to Hellebuck, and you did already.
Yep.
You did already. That's the positive you take from this. You have already shown that you can score on him. You've already shown that this defense cannot keep up speed-wise with you. Now, if you're able to make one adjustment, literally one adjustment, and try to give new legs and see what happens out there in net for the young kid, you maybe can see a turnaround very, very quickly. Because a guy that lets up 14 goals in two straight games against the same team should not be playing another second in this series.
They're down by – if we're talking football, Nico, they're down by over a touchdown.
It's 14 in the last two games. And full-time as they
– Are we talking about the Broncos or the Avalanche here? Are they down 14 – are the Broncos or the Avalanche down 14-6? I know that's bad wounds, but come on now.
It's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And like I said, I don't know if Nunes can be as good, but at this point you have to try. You have to try anything.
I will say something. So the people that are starting to say like rookies don't win you cups, rookies have not won you cups yet.
Bennington is a great example. Ollinger has made it.
I know you don't mention them,
but Bennington won a cup as a rookie and just Ollinger got to the Stanley Cup final.
Ollinger, okay, but not Bennington. I won't allow Bennington. But they're both that's the sentiment in hockey right now is that rookies cannot win you cups. Because it's not 100%, even though I feel like it damn well should be. It is not 100% that Georgiev will not be in net for game two. But if they go to Anonin, think about – you've been in locker rooms. You're a coach now. If you make a move to somebody who has so little experience in one specific position, what are you expecting and what are you telling everybody else in that room to do? Look, we're throwing Eustace out there for his first NHL playoff game. That means that you guys can't give up these backdoor situations like you constantly give up to Georgiev. It's like you were trying to get me to bench him because you guys put him in such bad situations. So I feel like the defense, the offense, if you know that the rookie is in there and he's never experienced this before, we've talked about it a lot on this show over the last 3 years. Sometimes it's better to not know what you don't know. Sometimes it's better to not realize that you should be sucking in this situation. B, all the rest of the players know that they need to step up and play that much harder because they don't have experience. They don't have any kind of what am I relying on if Eustace Annan is back there? The fact that it's not Alexander Georgiev, it's an okay scenario, but it's not like a scenario I'm 100% cool with. Everybody else needs to step up. If that's the decision that the coaching staff makes, that's a conversation that's had with everybody.
It's the only conversation that needs to be made, seriously, because I don't know how you walk into that locker room and walk into practice again and think, yeah, I think I can go for another and allow them another touchdown. It doesn't matter who the fuck is behind him, and the only reason why Georgiev is probably going to get another start in this playoff run is because he had to have experience and had to try to see what he has from him. But like I said, in the span of a week and a half now, maybe a week and a day, he has let 14 goals into the same team. He has let in a 3-0 goal lost a 3-0 lead leading into the third period of a must-win game. He has fallen apart. And I don't care who – rookie this, rookie that. I watched Cale Makar as a rookie skate up and down the ice and skate all around the Calgary Flames the first round, okay? There is not a team better than the Colorado Avalanche. And Nathan McKinnon, first ever career, first rookie year making the playoffs, had sent the Sharks to game seven. Obviously, we lost, but had a great run. The Avalanche are known for having rookies step up in a major way and helping Bo Byram and Alex Newhook, for instance, in that cup run 2 years ago. Look, the goalie is a different position. Absolutely is a different position. But I don't care if it was motherfucking Andre Vasilevsky in net. If that motherfucker lets up 14 goals to the same team, I could not strut out there and because you look, it's not anymore that you're telling your team, hey, we need to be better. No, you are losing the trust of your team by running the same dude out there every single night that's doing this to you. You are telling your offense that just produced a great game. Great game. You tested the best, one of the best goalies in the league. Get out to, because one, you were telling your offense, we're gonna need you to score five a night to win this cup. That's the worst thing possible. We're not gonna do anything to change. You have to score five a night for us to win. That's what you're telling your offense. And at some point, we realized this, I think it was in the Blues series 2 years ago, where we cannot score six goals a game. When you play a tougher defense with a better goalie, it's going to be more difficult. And like I said, it's one adjustment. It is one major adjustment. And if that doesn't change anything, then there's a lot of other finger points to go around. But I cannot sit here and say that seven goals on 21 shots is not a major problem. Major problem. Major, major, major problem. And 14 goals in 120 minutes played against the same team is not a major problem, because it is. And it has to be addressed.
It'll be interesting to see what the adjustments are. I'm going to be paying attention heavily to sports radio over the next couple of days. The game two is not until Tuesday. And then game three is where Nico and I will be live and in person Ball Arena Friday night. So obviously we're going to have one more of these post-game shows for the Avalanche. We'll have tomorrow's Nuggets game. I feel like we'll have two more Nuggets game recaps, because won't they play Monday and Wednesday after?
I don't know if it's Wednesday.
I feel like we'll have two Nuggets games before we have an Avalanche game, because the NHL decided to spread out everything over four flipping days, I guess. I don't get it. Last thing that I guess, how are we going to convince our listeners, and let's say the listeners that are just starting to get into, you're more experienced than I am in these sports where there's seven game series in the playoffs. I'm much more versed in like football. I have one game. If I don't win this one game, everything is going to come crashing down. I feel like what people need to understand about these series is that each game will take on a life of its own. Today was a 14 goal, whatever, sprint, marathon, whatever you want to call it. The next game very well could be 0-1 or 0-0 at the end of regulation, because these goaltenders decide to stand on their heads and the defenses play much better. How are you handling, how can you as a fan compartmentalize these seven game series where one game can look one way, the next game can look very different?
Look, the most important thing is that we just lost on the road. Okay. We were the betting underdog. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. You're betting underdog. You're the road team because you had a worse record than them. You just lost them 7-0 less than a week ago, and it's one game. There was seven games. And at minimum, you get two at home, and you have to hope that that the offensive production can continue. Throughout a seven-game series, everyone makes adjustments. The Winnipeg will make adjustments. The Avs will make adjustments. And it's which coaching staff will make the right adjustments to ultimately win more games than the opponent. That's as simple as that. Simple as that. This is not the end of the world. Does this sting? Absolutely. Because everyone, as an Avs fan, look, what did I say on yesterday's show live after the Nuggets? This is the first time we've not hosted a playoff round, I think, since the bubble, and if not a year after that.
It is the bubble. The bubble is the last time.
It has been three full seasons. Half of this roster was not here. Okay, so it is a brand new experience being a road team and trying to figure things out. And
Zach Parise was still in his middle 30s the last time this team was not hosting a playoff series.
Exactly. So it is a very, very, very big adjustment to playing the underdog role. Because like I said, you go into game one, you hope to steal it.
They didn't look bad in that scenario tonight, though.
They fought, and the thing is, like, what Winnipeg fans, what people will say is like, oh, that's their best shot. No, it's not.
Hell no. Are you kidding me? That first goal.
That's not their best shot at all. It's not their best shot at all, plain and simple. And with how this team is going to try to readjust every single game, that's what Bednar did better than everything else. Because I remember specifically that Edmonton Oilers series. Yes, it was a 4-0 sweep, but there was changes in the net. There was changes in how the defense strategy went against McDavid, against Dreisaitl. Things changed.
Hoffer went up to the second line in that series.
Things will change, and there's not another person that changes lines more than Bednar, and I expect that very, very much so. And like I said, it's not the end of the world. Winnipeg did what they were supposed to do. Plain and simple. They did what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to win game one at home. They're the higher seed. You have home ice in front of home fans. That's what you're supposed to do. Now the mindset needs to change. Things need to move into the direction. You need to try to go steal another one. You have another chance to go steal another one on Wednesday or whatever the hell that next game is. Tuesday, whatever that next game is.
Sometimes it seems like these things are a little bit serendipitous, or the way that they work out doesn't seem to be based in reality. So far, no away team has won in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Or the NBA playoffs, by the way.
Or the NBA playoffs. So apparently, game one, if you have home court or home ice advantage, you're guaranteed to win. It'll be very interesting how teams react, because if I know that we're saving – we talked about it after the show went off the air last night. We want to save some topics for our normal show. But if we just look at the game right before, or two games before the Avalanche with the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning, that one came down to the very wire too, and that could have gone either way. Your team may have a 1-0 series lead. I don't know if you feel the same way, but in my opinion, if I'm a fan of an NHL team and my team has a 1-0 series lead right now, I feel much worse than if I was an NBA team with a 1-0 series lead right now. Like, I feel more confident in that lead in the NBA than I do in the NHL right now.
The moral victory is coming out on you, Jimmy.
I know it is. I know it is, Nico. But damn it, it's been two seasons of only moral victories for the Colorado Avalanche.
One full season, and we're currently in the second one. But yes, it's moral victories, and Winnipeg absolutely deserved to win
that. I shouldn't miss Darcy Kuemper this much. I shouldn't miss him.
It's not necessarily even Kuemper. It's Frankie. It's fucking Grubauer. It's somebody that you know that doesn't scare you shitless when a puck goes on the net. I remember. I think it was against that Nashville series. I keep reminding everyone of the series in 2019 or maybe 2018, where the Hamburglar, Andrew Hammond, went in the net, and you're going up against Pecorine in playoffs, and I'm just watching the game, and I'm like, oh, every shot. I'm just holding my breath.
Anytime Kyle Connor was in the offensive zone tonight, I was petrified. Everything got tight because that dude, for whatever reason, we did not have a game plan for him. And maybe we needed to see him a fifth time to be able to come up with a game plan on how to stop Kyle Connor. But for people who don't know, he is the fastest player in the league. It's like between him and Kyrou. I know we like to talk about McKinnon, and McKinnon has afterburners and quickness for days and the finishing ability. Kyle Connor is one, like, fastest skater every time that he's been in that event. He is absolutely flipping. Like, on two skates, there might not be more than three people faster than him in the NHL.
Absolutely. And like I said, the goals that he had were goals that Georgiev needs to make to save, right? And I'm going to – we just lit up Georgiev for 28 full minutes now. But I need to make it very, very clear. I need a better performance defensively. I have to have it. I have to have it because I don't care who the hell is in that. I cannot have three goals in the first period all be on the goalie's doorstep. Plain and simple. Actually, I take about two or three. One was a prayer that was tipped three times. I cannot have that. And three of the first four goals were all back or across the ice passes that I make in NHL or Chell that should not get through. Plain and simple. That should not get through. And that Winnipeg just threw it the net because if they knew if someone was there, oh, the Avs aren't going to tip it. Oh, Georgiev's not going to make the save. So you throw the puck in the front of the net, whether it's a shot or a pass, it's going to have a chance to go in. Plain and simple. And Georgiev made some saves in the first period that could have made the game a lot worse. Plain and simple. Because I saw way too many turnovers in our own end. That is ridiculous from the likes of – and I'm looking at Kale. I'm looking at Walker. I'm looking at Taze. I'm specifically looking at Manson that you cannot do. plain and simple. There was lackadaisical defensive effort, and I am not, like I said, I can stroke the offense ego all I want, but I know what they're capable of. I know what they're capable of. I know what Valanciunas is capable of in the playoffs. I know what McKinnon, I know what Rantanen, I know what all these other studs are capable of in the playoffs. I have no worries about how they're going to produce. I am looking directly on the defense to help whoever is in net. Plain and simple. Because at this point, even if you don't have trust in Georgiev, you have to at least minimize the shots and try to get it even lower. And you have to make it as tough as possible to get anything on the crease. And Manson, you're a big fighter, a big tough guy. Why can't you push somebody on the crease and get him the hell away out of your goalie's face? Devon Tays, you're supposed to be his big dog, right? Jack Johnson, I see way too many guys sitting wide open on the front of the crease getting layups. Layups. It is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Even as bad as the goalie was tonight, the defense was just as worse. And I am not going to let them slide by just because our goalie could not fucking – they had a 69% save percentage. Like I cannot let that go.
I'm not going to let that stop scrolling underneath the screen because it needs to be said. But also the two guys that you mentioned, first and foremost, Manson and Taves, collective -6. The Avalanche defense as a whole, -5 because – let's see. I had it in my head, but now
I think the only goals were like power plays and an extra man opportunity.
The only person who finished with a positive plus minus out of your defense tonight was Sean Walker, who had a +1. Taves was -3. Manson was -3. Everybody else was 0. Basically meant that you could have been good or not with them on the ice. It doesn't matter. Two -3 defensemen will never win you an NHL hockey game. Whether it's regular season, postseason, preseason, Olympics, if you have two defensemen that are both -3+, the only way that you win that game is if you score 20 goals or you're playing Chell like we're talking about. Like that's the only way that situation actually works out for the better. Like I was sitting there thinking in my head, oh, well, I've done this a million times. I shoot 2 minutes left, I score, and I get Connor Hellebuck down to one goal, and then 30 seconds I'll score and we'll go into overtime. And then we'll win it in overtime. That's just not how things work. Like, if your defensive core, if your guys that you're paying a lot of money that you're relying on right now, because Manson and Taves are two of your older guys that you have to look at for leadership, and they're both a collective -6 on the night, and they're holding you back. They're this big boat anchor. You literally lost the game by 1 point, and those two gave up a total of 6 points. You don't want to waste the players-only meeting too early, but at that point, everybody on the offense has to be looking at those two guys in the locker room in the shower like, dude, stop somebody. Stop it's, something.
It's and look, and to help Georgiev's case, like you said, he could use a little bit of help. Like everyone knew going into this series, Georgie isn't going to be Kemper. We knew he wasn't going to be Grubauer. It was, hey – just try to make 20 saves and try to keep us in a game. That's how everyone walked into it. And to have your defense just let you down like that, it hurts. It absolutely hurts. And like I said, there's positives. There's a positive to go with this, right? There's a positive to go with this. I don't know you could have had a worse defense performance. I've not seen it from a playoff team with that bad of a defense performance. So there's a lot of adjustments. I'm not going to say a players meeting. This is a captain's meeting. You put Kale, you put Mac and Hell, put Landy in the meeting, even though he's not playing, and you have a gut check to every single person in the locker room that thinks that they're not going to play up to speed. Plain and simple. Because there's I would say right now there's four guys on a different level than everybody else on the team. It is McKinnon, it is Kale McCarr, it is Mikko Rantanen, and it is Valanciunas. And everybody else needs to pick up the pace because they know what it takes. Everybody else is still trying to figure out. Taves won that cup, but right now he's playing like he still plays for the Islanders. Josh Manson looks like he's the guy that still got cut by Anaheim 2 years ago, and the Avs just picked him up off the waiver wire. Sean Walker did much better. Casey Middleset looks like he's a kid in a candy store and still has no idea what he's going to pick because he's his first playoff experience after all those years in Buffalo and losing. It is get up to speed or get the fuck out of the way. That's how it is. Because McKinnon and McCarr, and like I said, this is the greatest duo of offensive defensive pairing in NHL history. It's one of the best, if not the best. And wasting these primes of these guys' career with goalies that aren't willing to step up and defensemen that are just taking things for granted, like, oh, you know, our offense will bail us out. No. That's not how you win cups. That's not how you get to the promised land. That's not how you become a dynasty, plain and simple.
I think before we move on and talk about the keys for the Avalanche coming up on Monday night for game two, or Tuesday night for game two, flipping things and flipping our perspective, what are the things that Winnipeg did tonight that you are going to expect them to try and exploit moving forward? Because they're the betting favorites. They won, they took care of business at home game one. You have to defend home ice, so it's not like they're going to come out and just lay down for Colorado Avalanche game two. What is Winnipeg going to do to keep their momentum going and to get this 2-0 lead coming back to Denver?
If you're Winnipeg, you see that you only shot 23 shots on net, you're like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously, that is a letdown in its own. You scored 7 goals, but you only having 23 shots on net with how poor the defense is playing is a major disadvantage. They had their chances to get great looks at shots, and they were just missing the net entirely and just having struggles. So if you're Winnipeg, you have to try to get that number above 30. Because right now, it doesn't matter who's in net. It doesn't matter if it's Georgiev or Noonan. If they face 30 shots, you got to think at minimum 3 or 4 will get in. And if you score 3 or 4, you have to hope that your goalie can back you up again like he has throughout his whole career. And that's how you continue winning these games. So I expect more shots on net. And I expect defensively, look, one thing that helped the Avs a lot getting goals back in net was the screen by Val in the middle and also by Middlestat in the middle. That was huge. Having a 6'4" guy staying in the middle hurt Hellebuck a lot. And I think that they were going to try to neutralize that as much as they can and try to make sure that Hellebuck only sees clean shots. Because if he sees a clean shot, 75% of the time, if not more, the puck is going to be saved. Plain and simple. If he sees a clean shot, it's going to be much higher chance of seeing it. So I expect a much cleaner game in front of the net for Winnipeg. I expect much more shots on net from them going into game two. How the Avs will counter that, we'll see. But like I said, 23 shots and you score 7 goals, that's a win. That's an absolute win. You expect more shots on net and try to test the goalie more. And again, like I said, if you test the goalie more night, you could have won 10-6. Like seriously, they could have made this game so much worse because of how many mistakes the defense in Georgia was making. So, like I said, having 23 shots on net, I expect way more output offensively and trying to continue to take advantage of mistakes like they did today.
I was listening to Tell It As It Is. They mentioned that Connor Hellebuck isn't quite the boogeyman in the postseason as he is in the regular season. Looking through it, it's all stats that I would take for a Colorado Avalanche goaltender. So I'm not going to bring up any of those stats. I'm just going to move past whatever I was going to bring up because he is – the fact that we were able to score 6 goals on him shows me that this team is so – for those out there thinking that the Avalanche are all hype and they're all just, oh, they won a cup 2 years ago, that's the only reason anybody cares about them. No. This is a world-class team, even with as poorly as they played tonight. They scored six. That's the most goals out of, like, 3 games that were played yesterday. Yeah. If anybody were able to get up to 4 yesterday, they would have been high-scoring. So the fact that you scored 6 goals, this team is world-class. This offense is world-class. The defense sucked, straight up sucked, awful. Nothing you can say to defend that performance. You have to be better. Good thing you have Cale Makar. Good thing you have Nathan MacKinnon. Good thing you have Gabriel Landeskog and Jared Bednar, guys that aren't going to be affecting the game on the ice but can still get into the ear of people. And we got to figure out whatever form this game two is going to be taking on, and we got to figure out a way to play as well as we can in it. And plain and simple
also, like, Georgiev is going to be important to this team winning a cup if this team is going to make it back, plain and simple, because it doesn't matter if it's the number 2 action. It doesn't matter if they put him back in that as the number 1 continuing. He is going to be very, very important. So at this point, as a team, you have to rally around and be like, you know, we need to figure this out. I don't know if it's easier shots on net. He needs to talk with the defense and be like, hey, I need this. I am seeing these shots better than I'm seeing these shots. These shots are much more easier for me to save. Force these kind of things. As a lacrosse coach, this is what I teach fourth graders, right? 95% of kids are right-handed. Okay, plain and simple. Which way do you think you should force the guy to shoot? Left. Left. Right?
Even I got that one.
Force him left. It doesn't matter what sports it is. If you if Georgiev is seeing shots a different way from certain angles and seeing things a better way, you'll have to echo that and be like, hey, we can force this. Maybe let this be a little bit more open because I feel more and I maybe I have more strength in my glove hand as opposed to my blocker, or maybe it's vice versa. That's something you have to have a conversation where you'd be like, hey, we need to help him see the shots that he needs to see and give him confidence. Plain and simple, you have to give him confidence because at this point, like I said, he's going to be important for this run. And Unen will not start all however many games left we have in the playoffs unless we get bounced in the first round. Georgiev will have to step up at some point again because injuries happen and crazy things happen. And it may be his net at the end of the season. It may not be, but at this point, you have to rally around him and be like, you know what. Yes. Have you sucked? Yes. Have we sucked? Yes. But the good thing is we have people around us that can elevate the rest of our game. Or if we make these adjustments, we can win this series. And that's the attitude the team needs to take.
Well, it's not like you can't have a guy that certain teams just don't do well against. Like maybe Georgiev's team that he can't play well against is Winnipeg. So use Justus Annunen to get out of the Winnipeg series and then go right back to Georgiev for whoever you end up in round two. Like it's, who there is no goaltender good enough to solidify and say, yes, this is the Colorado Avalanche number one goaltender. That's unfortunately, we're not in that situation. Georgie can't say that. Annunen can't say that. That kid that they brought up that looked like he was about to puke on live television after Georgiev gave up the seventh goal. He's like, oh God, please no, please. I can't. Don't put me in, please. Whoever it is, you have to be able to figure out who's the best goaltender, who's the best in this situation. I'm hoping that we see some things move forward. We'll be back live after both the Nuggets game tomorrow night on Monday and then also the Avalanche game Tuesday night. Normal episode will come out Wednesday, draft show Thursday, live show Friday after we both go to the playoff game, Nuggets game possibly Saturday. Anything you want to say about the I just like to throw that out there because the playoffs are where we tend to make our money, if I'm going to be completely honest, as a podcast. Tell your friends, follow at FELTB Pod, subscribe to the YouTube channel, all of that good stuff. But, Nico, the week is full. The week is booked right now.
Yeah, it's going to be jam packed. And like I said, it's a quick turnaround. Tomorrow I'm expecting a very, very good game, a much tougher game for the Nuggets, and obviously Avalanche hopefully can figure this out and going forward. And like I said, this is one game. One game. All right. One game. This is not the end of the world. It's long playoffs, long series. Look, we haven't even touched home ice yet. Nuggets haven't even been on the road yet. We have a long way to go. So it's only one game. It's okay to be a little frustrated. It's okay to be like, you know what? This is a wasted opportunity. It's okay to do that. It's not okay to say we need to burn the fucking house down after one game. Because like I said, it's one game. It's a long series. And we have lots of opportunities to get back to where we want to be and improve off of what we did. So I expect to win tomorrow night. And we'll talk about tomorrow after the game. But I expect to win tomorrow night. And I expect a better performance from the defense and whoever's in net on game two for the Avs.
Be sure to tune in at FEOTB Pod live after every playoff game for the Nuggets and Avalanche as we continue on. Be sure to check out our normal episodes both on our feed and the Variety Sports Network. Follow at FEOTB Pod and at Variety Sports _ for all of that great information and the updates. This is a good episode. I know that it was a tough loss, but hey, we're all dealing with it together. We're talking about some things where you as the bench warmer might be able to possibly contribute to the show in the future. I didn't get any research done on that today, but I'll figure it out before the end of the playoff run. But with that, bonus episode, once again, following the Avalanche game one loss to the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, for myself, Jimmy Pilato, my co-host, Nico Bryant of the Far End of the Bench podcast, we will see you guys tomorrow night after the Nuggets game.
Peace.
If you don't stay down and you never quit, come on over here and sit on the far end of the bench.